From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, July 31st. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri Republicans want to make it harder to amend the state's constitution. But even proponents of an initiative to be decided on in Tuesday's election acknowledge that it is getting a tough reception.
I think there's just a lot of anger and mistrust in the government, so that's spreading through everything. I think, I guess next Tuesday we'll see how some of the races turn out.
STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports on the contentious fight over Amendment 4, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The St. Louis Board of Aldermen is calling on St. Louis Public Schools to hold more community meetings and delay a vote on mass school closures. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed tuned into the public hearing yesterday and has this report.
SLPS community members testified against the district's proposed consolidation plan, demanding more clarity around the process. The resolution calls for the district to explain why specific schools are on the list for closure, despite steady enrollment. Alderwoman Laura Keyes believes shutting down schools will further drive population loss in the city.
I tell people all the time, schools anchor communities. And when there are not quality schools in our communities, people go somewhere else.
SLPS said in a statement it has not made any final decisions and will hold more community meetings. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's State Board of Education has two new members. Governor Mike Kehoe announced the appointment of former mayor of St. Louis, Vincent Shamel Jr., to the board. After serving three terms as mayor from 1981 to 1993, Shamel led Grand Center and served on several boards in the St. Louis area. A Kansas City math teacher is also joining the board at a pivotal time. The governor's office says Michael McDonald from the Park Hill School District has more than 20 years of experience in the classroom. The Missouri legislature added a teacher representative position to the board in 2018 as a non-voting role, but the Missouri Independent reports the position has sat empty until McDonald's appointment. These appointments to the board come as it prepares for a national search to find the state education department's next commissioner. Former Ed Commissioner Carla Esslinger announced her retirement in May after 2 years at the helm. Current St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer has named a health director more than a year after that former leader resigned. And again, it's a name that may sound familiar. STLPR's Sarah Fenton reports Dr. Faisal Khan is returning to the region. He previously served as the head of the St. Louis County Health Department.
Spencer said Khan's track record of public health leadership and familiarity with the region make him the right person for the job. Khan headed up the county's health department during the most contentious days of the coronavirus pandemic, leading the county to have among the highest COVID-19 vaccination rates in the state. But Khan, a medical epidemiologist, also clashed with protesters over mask mandates and made national headlines when he made an obscene gesture at a public meeting. Khan said he did it after being called racial slurs. He resigned in 2022 and went on to lead the health department in King County, Washington. He was let go last year during a government restructuring. Khan will start as health director on Monday. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Starting next month, Illinois will send one-time $400 payments to nearly 100,000 residents who recently lost federal food assistance. Governor J.B. Pritzker says the new $70 million FRESH program is meant to help struggling families after expanded work requirements ended their SNAP benefits. Eligible households don't have to apply. The state will automatically identify recipients and load the payment onto their Illinois Link card. The program will continue until the $70 million in funding runs out. The Illinois Prisoner Review Board is expected to decide today whether to release a former police officer convicted of murdering an unarmed black woman 2 years ago in her home. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Sean Grayson has served about 7 months of his 20-year sentence for fatally shooting 36-year-old Sonia Massey. She had called 911 to her Springfield area home to report a potential prowler. Grayson was one of the responding officers. A jury last fall found Grayson guilty of second-degree murder after he shot her to death in her kitchen. His attorneys ever since have sought a reduced prison sentence and now an early release due to medical reasons. They say Grayson is battling stage 4 colon cancer in his liver and lungs. If his petition is granted, Grayson will be under mandatory supervised release for 5 years. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A St. Louis County judge has ruled that a former University of Missouri football player should get another year of eligibility for the Tigers. The judge's ruling is the first of its kind in the state. It will allow defensive lineman Sterling Webb to play for Mizzou this upcoming season. The NCAA recently passed a new rule allowing athletes to play for 5 seasons, but said it only applied to those currently enrolled at a school, not those who've already graduated. Webb filed a lawsuit, arguing that former athletes should get the same opportunity for a 5th season. The judge agreed and granted Webb a temporary restraining order. Webb is the son of St. Louis County Councilwoman Shalonda Webb. He is expected to be at Mizzou's first fall practice Monday. Early voting in St. Charles County has already surpassed 2024 numbers, with several days to go before Election Day. The county's election authority indicates more than 9,100 ballots cast since early voting began. St. Charles County Election Director Kurt Barr says that's nearly 1,000 more than the early vote total in the August primary 2 years ago. The ballot includes a contentious 3-way Republican primary race for county executive and several high-profile statewide issues. The county's also been offering extended hours on some days of the week for early voting. Barr, a Republican who's also on the ballot himself, says it's unclear what exactly is driving the higher turnout or if it's a trend that'll continue.
The one thing that we know for sure is that St. Charles County voters are now aware of the ability to vote either at the main office or the 2 satellite locations, and they're definitely taking advantage of that.
Early voting is available tomorrow at the St. Charles County Election Authority office from 8:30 to 4:30. You can check out our voter guide for more information about the polling places and early voting availability near you. Missourians will decide Tuesday whether to make it harder for some constitutional amendments to be enacted. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on how backers say that the current process drowns out rural voices, but opponents counter that the amendment gives too much power to the state legislature.
Amendment 4 requires any constitutional amendment put on the ballot through the initiative petition process to not only get a majority of the statewide vote, but also to pass in all 8 congressional districts. Backers of the plan, like Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins, say that threshold requires proposed amendments to get buy-in from rural parts of the state. He adds that recently passed initiatives like Medicaid expansion, marijuana legalization, and the repeal of a strict abortion ban failed in rural counties.
Well, I think it gets back to how the conversation starts, and the conversation never starts on a widespread basis across the state. The conversation is initiated in Kansas City and St. Louis primarily to start with.
Under Amendment 4, anything that the legislature puts on the ballot would still only need a majority of the statewide vote. State Representative Don Mayhew of Crocker says that makes sense since legislative-directed proposals typically go through a more rigorous process.
At every single one of those committee hearings, it is a public hearing where the public can comment.
But Amendment 4 detractors like St. Peter's resident Paul Rosler say this dual standard is profoundly unfair and transfers a significant amount of power from the people to the legislature. He also says Amendment 4 allows a small percentage of the population to effectively veto a proposed amendment with broad support.
And the way this would work is citizens' petitions would essentially be almost entirely blocked from passing.
Boone County resident Kevin Hyen says rural residents complaining about successful initiative petitions are missing important nuances. The Amendment 4 opponent says things like Medicaid expansion and abortion legalization got more support in rural counties than Democratic statewide contenders.
The Republican legislature has controlled our state for 25 years, largely due to rural voters. Their vote counts the same as everybody else. Like, why they think their vote should be weighted to count more just because they don't like the outcome of recent elections, it just defies logic and fairness to me.
Fans of Amendment 4, like Wayne County resident Vinnie Club, acknowledge that the proposal is getting a rougher than expected reception, even from some skeptics of the initiative petition process. Some GOP opponents of Amendment 4 say requiring 8 out of 8 districts is too strict and effectively kills citizen efforts to change the Constitution.
I think there's just a lot of anger and mistrust in the government, so that's spreading through everything. I think, I guess next Tuesday we'll see on like, you know, how some of the races turn out.
If Amendment 4 does falter on Tuesday, opponents of the proposal, like University City resident Lisa Hummel, say it would be a sharp rebuke to the GOP-controlled legislature.
I really think it comes down to this mentality that they have now, or that they seem to have, where they really think that they are our rulers. They think that they know better than we do as citizens.
Missourians will likely vote in the fall on a plan that would make it harder for the legislature to overturn citizen-initiated ballot items, which means the fight over initiative petitions will continue after the primary election. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can find out more about Amendment 4 and all the other issues on this Missouri August primary ballot at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.